So I get inspired through the people that connect and through their lives and what God is doing in their lives, plus my own connection with my minister and the things that he encourages me, the things I put into practice, the things I determine to do. You know, I determine to do it. And, you know, sometimes you've got to fight for what you want, because we may have other people in our life that may not have the same vision, the same direction, the same understanding, the same purpose, may not even agree with what we're doing. But if God has put something in your heart, God, you know, God will give you things to do. And sometimes there can be challenges there, not because God's put them there, just that it's life and living. And we go to God. He can navigate us through every situation. So God is the one that wants to lead us by his spirit, right? And so that means we're being led. We're not leading God. Okay, God, I think I'll do this, and I think I'll go there, and I think I go here. That is not going to get you any work. That'll get you where you want to go. But we want to go in the direction of God. And his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And so we want to move in the way of God. And it looks different to the way we move. And so God has taught me all these different things in my walk and my journey and my life and my living. And then, you know, you go through that journey in your life where you really have a lot of, you get friendly with people and you really think, yeah, I'm going to move it with these guys and they're with me and I'm with them. And man, the letdown comes, you know, they've gone away and they've got a different perspective, or that you, because you're not following their perspective, they turn away from you. You know, me, I've always determined not to do that, even if someone doesn't agree with what I'm saying right now, because I know there's one thing that God does want us to do, and that's to walk in love, and we're to love people. And some people are just have just not made up their minds what they're going to do. So they're in a flux between two, you know, they come here and they go there and they're up and down. And until they turn their hearts fully to God for the right direction, my job is just to keep loving people. You know, if they come, like Sange, I used to say to Sange, you know, this person's not really connected, not really. And he said, but if they come, just encourage them. You know, don't turn them away, just encourage people. And I love that. I absolutely love that heart, because, you know, the truth about it, I should haven't even been told that, because all my walk and all my journey, even when I messed up, screwed up, wasn't really interested at certain times, I was never ever turned away. People always looked to encourage me and to help me to come the right way. And that's all we have to do. So, people, you know, we just walk in love. It's their walk with God, what they want to do. And all you can do is just let them do what they want to do and just focus your attention with people that really want to move. And, you know, people will be people. And so we're trusting God with the walk and the journey that he's given us, because he's got us on it. And, you know, I've chosen the way of God. You know, choose you this day whom you may serve. And I want to serve the one true God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm endeavoring to move in the right direction based upon what I know and understand, what I've been taught, how I've been fed through the years, what I've learned. And according to that understanding, I'm moving with a pure heart unto God, because I really want to serve God. And I know serving God is doing what he wants me to do, and it's serving the people. You know, giving the people what they need to this moment in time in their life and their living in this day right now, and then the further direction for the vision to be built and what they can see on their journey, what they can expect on their journey, what they can receive from God. God really does want you to have great benefit in your walk with him. He really wants every one of us to enjoy our life. For a lot of us, most of us have struggled just to be happy, just to get our minds together, just to feel loved or to feel secure, right? We've all dealt with all these thoughts, feelings and emotions, which play a massive part. They're called paradigms. How we was treated before, how people looked at us before, how our peers at school used to treat us, or our parents or our aunties, were we rejected? Were we the little favourite in the family or whatever? You've got favourites and... No, I used to be my mummy's little angel until my sister was born. And I wasn't mummy's anything then after that. So that was a great rejection from me. But then when I look back, I'm so glad that my little sister had all the attention she needed, because she needed it, right? And I was kind of left to my own devices from 9 years old. You know, my mum used to have me under her wing wherever she went, whatever she'd done. I seen all the good and all the bad. But I, you know, I, it hasn't hurt me. It's helped me in a sense. I know the life lessons. I know what to avoid on the major and the, you know, the dark side of things. I know how to avoid it and who to avoid and the type of people to avoid so that I can pursue this way of holiness, this way of God, this way of joy, this way of happiness, this way of life. So, you know, lots of people on different levels, different understanding, different mindsets, different backgrounds. I think there's so many people that have been through rough times as kids, neglected, beaten, abused, or whatever. It's a common theme, really. It always has been a common theme. But lots of people hide it through embarrassment, or they don't want to get their people to think bad of them, or their parents, or their background. But at the end of the day, life is what it is, right? And we can make it what it is with God. And God said, I can give you the best life. Now you've got my spirit, I can give you the best life. Now it's up to you if you want it. I'm not going to force this best life on you, but I'm laying all the things out there for you. And if you, by your free will choice, decide to follow me and do what I show you, then you're going to have the best. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with God saying, look, do what I tell you to do. Because there's always someone going to get you to want them to do what they want to do. If it ain't your husband, it's going to be your wife, right? If it ain't your wife, it's going to be your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Someone wants you to serve them. Satan wants you to serve him. God wants you to serve him, but his motive is so that you can have the best life. But he's giving you a free will choice. A lot of people choose the easy road, but they're actually coming under slavery and bondage. The easy road is just doing what you want. Do as you feel. I think Anton LaFey, who wrote the Satanic Bible, you know, put that, you know, their slogan is do what you want. And we're saying what we want. We're not doing what we want. We're doing what God wants. And we say what we want according to faith, according to the heavenly words given to us. And so, like, so what do you want to do? Do you want to live a good life with God? A disciplined life with God? It takes some discipline. This thing, yeah, we're in grace and we're all free to do what we want, but it does take some discipline. And that's self-discipline, not anybody else's discipline, not wake or discipline. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our own personal discipline with God to do the right thing. You know, to have that integrity when we're on our own, to make the right choices, to make the right decisions for our life without the influence of others. And sometimes it's really hard because we might have someone that's really dominant in our life. We might have three or four people that are dominant and, you know, we might feel inferior to them. But you know what? God hasn't made you inferior to anyone. You are as Christ now. And so God can give you wisdom into this life and living. Not only we can read it in the scriptures, but he can navigate you by that Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what he wants to do. And if we're going to live this thing, if we're going to be really moving with God in a powerful way, we can't go by what we hear, see, smell, taste or touch, or even the knowledge of what we can read from the scriptures. But God will enlighten that knowledge for us. You know, there's nothing wrong with the knowledge. The knowledge is great, actually. But it's the wisdom of that knowledge you need. It's the application of it, the understanding of it that you need. And it's when you're being led by the Spirit of God, the understanding comes. The understanding comes of what is this abundant life. I used to think it was just about money and having a bit of good health, you know what I mean? But it isn't. There's many levels of this abundant life. That the first thing I think of the abundant life is having a living relationship with the one true God, to know his heart and to hear his voice. That's what I want to do. I want to know his heart and hear his voice. Now, I can see some of his heart in the scriptures, but he can reveal a lot more for me in this day and time where I'm living. Right today, the 22nd of June, 2025, God is still speaking. He's still speaking. He hasn't changed in that manner. He's still speaking. He's still directing. He's still looking for those. He's searching the hearts of everyone on here. Who's believing? Who's receiving? Who will go for me? Who will open up their mouth and live unto me? Who will be disciplined and do what I tell them to do rather than themselves, you know? Because we're not to live unto ourselves anymore, right? We're to live unto God. So what is living unto God? I just told you that. I just told you what it is. Living unto God is doing what God wants you to do. Not what the local minister has told you to do, or me, or Bill, or Harry, or Sally, or Jane, or Ethel, or Doris, whoever. It's doing what God tells you to do. Now, yeah, we come, we connect, we're getting encouragement, But again, God is still leading. He wants you to go to him. He wants you to listen to what he's telling you. I may say do something, and God's saying, no, I want you to do this. Who are you going to obey? You better obey God. And then, you know, you might think, well, you know, he's told me to do that, but God's telling me, no, I'm going to do what God said. Because God will prove that it was him telling you. You know, you don't have to do nothing. You just execute what God puts in your heart, and then the fruit will tell if it was of God. That's how you know. People are known by their fruit. What's the fruit in the life? What's the fruit of the thoughts? What's the fruit of the words? What's the fruit of their life and living? What's the fruit of their actions? You can tell committed people, and you can tell non-committed people. For me, I'm looking for people that are committed to God and are going to commit to move with us as we're moving, yeah, through the encouragement. Not committed to me, but through what we're doing, what we're speaking, what we're encouraging. Now, I'm looking for people that will come to the fellowship when it's available, every time. All right, unless you've got a wedding anniversary and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. That's different, right? But I'm talking about when you can come and you don't. That's some people's attitudes. I'm too tired. I was up all night last night. But you can come. You're taking away your part to bless other people. It's not about you being there to satisfy me. It's about what you're going to bring and what can you give, whether you are tired or not. You know, Jesus was tired. You know, he found out that his cousin John had his head chopped off. And he thought, oh man, I've got to go and grieve over this. I just can't. This is just too much. No, he didn't. He's seen the needs of the people. And so he took care of the needs of the people. He done what God wanted him to take care of the needs of the people. Even though John had lost his head. And John, you know, to Jesus and to God was a great prophet. You know, really great, great man. But God still wanted him to take care of the people. And that's what he done. You know, I expect he had his time of grieving. And maybe through that time he might have had a few tears. It doesn't say. But we know that he didn't stop ministering in that day. When we take a look at the life of Jesus Christ, he was busy in many days. He was under much pressure at many times, but he still moved with God because God supplied the energy, the strength, the provision, the needs, the healing, the health, the finances in different situations that they needed, the food, the bread. You know, he even walked on water, didn't he, to get to the other side, to reach the guy's boats, you know, to build their faith and to show them that you can do this. You know, we can. I seen a video the other day on Facebook. And it was this little dog, and there was people sat around the pool, and this dog run around from one of the sun loungers, and he walked straight, he run across the water, literally, like he was walking on it, because he didn't recognise it was water, and he just run across it, and then all of a sudden, towards the end, he sunk. But it just goes to show about frequency. God was showing me it's about frequency, and where Jesus Christ's faith was, high-level frequency faith. And you get that through spending time with God. No, God wants us to walk in power. He does want us to do these same things. He does want us to walk out on a lake if it's going to get someone born again, if it's going to get someone's attention. He does want us to set people free that are sick and are going through things. And it doesn't matter if you've gone through something. If you've got the Spirit of God and you can still minister with power, you can still bring deliverance. You can still receive healing yourself, you know. Don't let anything stop you. And we've all had good excuses this year to stop, right? But we're not. We're going full force, baby. With the strength and energy of God, we're going full force. Because he's the one leading. He's the one supplying the energy. He's supplying the finances. He's supplying the right people. And he's going to cause this thing here to grow. You know, we want to get with God's program. That's what we want to do. And we need each other. Don't think, you know, if everyone walked away, yeah, you can start again. But if we're going to see things move, you know, we need to receive these words gladly, number one. Take it to heart and determine to do it. Okay, God, I will speak thy word. Okay, God, I will move in this manner that I'm encouraged. I can see the fruit. I can see the results. I will follow this way. I also want this fruit. And I want this results. I've proved this to myself. On a small scale at the moment, but it's going to increase and enlarge, and it has over the 5 years. When I went to India, I said, God, I'll do this with all my heart, but I need to see the results. And you know what? I have. When I look at my life, I've been very, very blessed, coming from the background I come from. Man, I've been everywhere. I've been all over the world. I've been in front of great men, women, all over the world from different places. I've seen the power of God. I've seen people's ears open and mouth open and eyes open. I've seen these healings. I've met people that have been raised from the dead. I've seen the great work of God, how it can move in India and then later on in Nepal. I've seen the where it's small and then it's grown, and the frequency of the faith of the believers and the excitement and joy which we should be having here. We've just got to forsake our old ways of how we've done things. Seriously, he ain't so special. I ain't so special. God is the one that's special, and he's given you Holy Spirit. And he wants us to be humble to him, recognizing that the excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God. And that he can make us, he takes our mourning and turns it to joy. He wants us to have such great happiness. He takes your poverty and gives you abundance so that you can be blessed to be the blessing. You got to operate in the principles. If you want to really receive from God on the spiritual side, you need to really speak in tongues. If you want to manifest finances and abundance, you need to honor God with your seed. If you really want to renew your mind, you need to start thinking and saying what God says, rather than thinking and saying what your old man's telling you or what the world's telling you. So it's time to gird up the loins, and that means to make up your mind. If you want to run, you've got to gird up your loins. For them to gird up their loins in the old times, they used to have to get their big robes and tie it up between their legs so that they could run. You know, with Jesus with his long gown, he couldn't run in that long gown. If he did want to run, he had to take up the robe and put it around him and hold it up so he could run. Gird up the loins, it's called. The scriptures call it gird up your loins. Make up your mind to run this race with endurance. And it says in Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does evilly beset us, so that we can run it with patience. You know, there's things in our life that we may need to lay aside. The things that weigh us down, the things that we hang on to, which is a weight. And if you let it go, you can run. Smoking was a weight on me. Didn't do me any good, did it? But thank God, he's given me the willpower to give it up, right? And now I feel a lot better. Now I can run a bit more freer. So there's things that we bring on ourselves as well. You know, so if you smoke, I'd encourage you, don't smoke. But it's totally up to you. I'm not going to judge you if you do or you don't. But really, like, quit it. If you could quit the things that are not good for you, we can take good advice. We can eat healthily. You know, body, soul, and spirit. You need your body where your spirit resides in. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ask God, Father, help me to take care of my body better. If you're not very good at it, which I haven't been, to be honest with you, been kind of lazy with that area. I used to be very fit when I was a young man. But when you get comfortable, and that's, you've got to come out of your comfort zones, like Kim. I met Kim. My God, that woman got to my heart through my belly. Beautiful meals, curries, all the things. She gave me all the best, still does. And I got to learn to say, no, that's not good for me. It's lovely, but it's not the right healthy food for me. And I'm learning to do that. No, I don't want this tonight. I don't want fish and chips tonight. I'll have a curry instead. That's still not as good, but it's like it's better. But the point is we can say no to things. You see what I'm saying? So I can't blame Kim. She's just doing what she's always been raised to have, really good, rich food, which her mum and dad used to have. And so she's been used to those foods. And there's nothing wrong with them. You can eat what you want, you know. But sometimes it's not good to eat what you want or to have what you want, because you have to go around and change it all and do something about it to get out of any health issues you get in with it. So using a bit of common sense to look after our physical bodies in this physical world. Yes, we know God can heal our bodies. And it's the same thing with the finances. Stewarding your money. Not wasting it. Not spending it where you don't need to spend it. Sowing in the right fields. Being faithful in that and generous in that. Not being stingy. You know, don't be stingy mingy. Because lots of people can be stingy, but God doesn't want us to be. He wants us to be generous. No, that generosity, mate, I have not seen it match yet. But in India and Nepal, they really operate that way. And I know they never used to have nothing, these guys. And they're living a better and more higher financial life than we are. And I tell you, that's the truth. And they're just moving with God. They're serving God. They're full-time with God. And the joy and rejoicing and the amounts of people that are coming through the healings. Devil spirits are getting kicked out. People are being healed, bones are being repaired, people are being raised from the dead still, leprosy's being gone, there's still leprosy going around, and people that got it are being healed of it. Nothing's changed. There's nothing new under the sun. Maybe a different time and a different day, and the things may look a little bit different, but there's nothing new under the sun. And so devil spirits are still around, still work and operate. In fact, they hide themselves a lot easier today than they used to do. And, you know, people accepting it's the right to be homosexual or a lesbian. I know that's topics that we shouldn't talk about, but on my Zoom fellowship, we'll talk about it. And it's wrong. No, but we don't judge the person. We love the person. And we need to be bold to speak to those people when they come across our path to show them the right way. There's nothing wrong with pointing something out if it's hurting someone. And, you know, if it's really damaging them and detrimental to their life and living. And but it's not that we're not the judge and jury, by the way, but I'm just saying sometimes there are situations where we might need to say something. And, you know, because we're free to do that. We're to make the judgment. It's man's day of judgment. And we're to make that judgment with God. We make the call with God. If he shows us to say something, then we say it. If he shows us to shut up, we shut up. But we always do everything with love and wisdom and led by the Spirit of God. And so if we want to see and have maximum impact in our health and living, then we watch what we eat. We can find out about nutrition and different things like that, which I'm actually doing. I want to lose weight as well. Brilliant. And I know I'll get down to what I need because I got the mindset for it. See, I want to do it now. Before I didn't want to do it. So now I do. And so there's all these things that we can do and we can change in our life. If you want to change your life, you've got to change the way you think and the way you speak and the way you do things. And change it for the better. Don't change it for the worst. And, you know, because it's like it's changing your, you know, a partner. You know, you're only going to get the same thing again if you don't work at it. Every relationship could work out if it was worked at. Some situations are different. Some situations couldn't be worked out because of one partner didn't want to do it. And that's the truth. When we look at these things in reality and really be honest about it. Now, I've been thinking about things myself, you know, through the years, my mistakes I've made, not to condemn myself, but to see where I can be better. I want to be better in my life and living. I want to be better in my speaking and the advice I give to people as well. And according to what God says and what God energizes. So I know we're going in the right way, guys. God is really moving us and he wants us to have the right perspective on things. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be successful. He says, look, I've given you everything. You've got to use what I give you. Use the information. God is saying, use the wisdom that I give you. You know, apply it, put it to action. If you want to know how to lay a patio and you've got all the instructions, it won't get laid just looking at the instructions. And that's what a lot of believers live like. They just look at the instructions and don't apply anything. So the garden stays unlaid. There's no new patio. There's no new garden shed because they never even attempted to do it. But when we attempt to do things with God, you know, we see something in the scriptures. I was reading earlier on. I'll read it to you, actually. It's still a good little thing. And I want to look into this a bit later on down the road, but not right today. But this subject is massive, and it's in Luke 16, verse 1. And it says, "And he said also unto his disciples," this is Jesus, "there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." So this guy was looking after this master's money and wealth or business. And he was accused that he wasn't looking after it properly. So the master, come and ask him about this, right? And it says in verse 3, "Then the steward said unto himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I'm ashamed." In other words, that's all he knew to do. He was screwed. If he didn't get out of this situation, he wouldn't have no living. He wouldn't have nowhere to go. He'd have been cast out of the city. He would have had nothing. Absolutely nothing. So he had to think. And think quick. Right. And he said, "Then the steward said unto himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I am resolved what to do." He just didn't know what to do. "That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord?" How much do you owe my my boss, right? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. You know, get something, right? Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That's 80, right? If I'm right, 80, yeah, 80. Verse 8, and the Lord commended, so the boss commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. So this steward ended up doing wisely. He got something back for his Lord rather than lose the whole lot, right? He moved on things. He didn't just let it stay. And sometimes we have to move on some of the things that are going on in our life. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That verse of scripture God brought to my mind when I was starting to understand about the law of attraction, confession. And we know that the law of attraction is simply the law of faith. When you look at it, put it down to its nuts and bolts, it's the law of faith. And these guys, when Jesus said this at this time, these people knew how to operate in the principles and laws of God. I'm not talking about the laws of Moses, thou shalt not and thou shalt this. I'm talking about the laws of God, like seed time and harvest. You know, sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, day and night, and all these different laws that are governing the universe right now. So all those laws still govern the universe. Sowing and reaping, it still governs the universe. What does Satan go after? He goes after the seed to try and change the seed, like seedless grapes. No seedless, don't, and I would encourage you, don't have seedless grape. There's no profit to them. Just because the seeds are out of it, okay, you don't have to bother spitting them out, but there's no life in it. I wouldn't go after anything seedless because that's manufactured. So we can have the manufactured things of the world or the things of God which are genuine, right? So anyway, I'm on about those laws, the laws that govern the earth, you know. Seed time and harvest. There's a time to sow, there's a time to reap. Just like there's a time to mourn and there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry, right? Even it says that in Ecclesiastes, you know. And then it says also in Ecclesiastes that to a good man, God gives wisdom, knowledge with joy. To the sinner, he gives travail. That word travail means hard labor. That he may give to him that is good before God. So the one that is working his butt off ends up giving it to God's good people, right? We're the good people. We're good before God. We've got that spirit. We're applying and doing the right things. So anyway, the children of this world are wiser than the children of God in their generation because they know how to operate in the principles. We should know how to operate in the principles of God. We should know how to speak. We should know how to declare. We should know how to talk to things and call things which are not as though they were. No, we call reconciliation to brokenness in our life. We call abundance to our bank account where there's lack. We tell spirits to go. We tell mountains to move. We tell problems to get out of the way. We call light to shine in the name of Jesus Christ. We're speaking from the mouth of God, from the right hand of God. We should know what to do. And the children of the world, even today, are still wiser than the children of God in our generation. So we got to change this about. It says that, you know, we're to rule and reign. It says in Romans that we should be ruling and reigning in this life by one Jesus Christ. We should be, if we understand our authority and how the things work. And God's given us a knowledge of it. I've just been sharing it with you. I've been teaching it since God showed me. And I got the understanding of it for me, even though this has been taught way before I taught anything like this. But God's been teaching me on a personal level for the people that I would be ministering to. So if you take this to your own heart and find out for yourself, which I know some of you do, you know. Charles Capps teaches it very greatly. And his daughter teaches it even better. So it's like, the thing is, that it's all there. It's all there. God has given us all the knowledge, wisdom, and information. It's released. Everything's there. Everything's done. Now it's up to us to harness the good things from God. Like he wants us to harness this information in our hearts and put it over in our hearts and our minds. You know, we don't want to be thinking ourselves of leaders of people, but followers of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And whoever comes in front of us, yes, we can encourage them, but don't think yourself to be the boss. Even though I got you to think that way when it comes to you sharing. Because it's good when you have that perspective, like that you are in charge of everything here, you're responsible, you've got to minister to the needs, then you really go to God. Father, I know I can't meet all these amazing people on this Zoom fellowship. Kathy Clark, wealth of walking by the Spirit of God and wealth of understanding, and Frank and Fan and Mary and Munger, all you guys, all been around. That's why we have to go to God. God wants you to depend upon Him, not upon someone that can speak nice, good words. We want to hear the good words and the right words, but we don't depend upon the person speaking them. We thank God in the manner that they're speaking and declaring it. Thank God for that, because they just delivered to me something that I couldn't understand if somebody else was saying it, right? So like for Sangate, for me is, and for a lot of people, the way God uses the terminology from His mouth. You know, from His background being Japanese and Indian, and then, you know, learning the different cultures there, He comes out with some amazing things in the way that He says it, that really paints the picture in the mind to have faith in those areas. Like Happyville. You know, if I say go to Easton in Bristol, you know, a lot of people that know Easton Bristol know it's rough. I think actually it's become a better area now. But when I lived in Easton with Kim, it was a rough area, right? So you think of Easton, you think of a rough area. When you think of Pucklechurch, you think of the fields and it's out of the way and it's on the edge of everything else, right? And it's in a nice location. So what do you think when you think about Happyville? What about Prosperous Lane? What about Gold Cul-de-sac? You know, all these different things and terminology that God's worked in Sangate to share through the years has really enhanced my understanding and helped me to grab spiritual truths and realities. And it's the same with what all of us can do. God can give us this heavenly vocabulary to speak the heavenly words that will help build the picture of what God wants you to see in your mind. Because that's where the faith is, baby. The words that are being spoken, if they're being received, will build faith, will give you images, will give you images of victory, not images of defeat. Images of strength, not images of weakness. Images of health rather than images of unhealthiness, right? So our words should be painting great pictures in people's minds, giving people great vision and direction from God. If they're heavenly words, it's from God. And then so we get this nice picture in our minds of great many people coming from darkness to light. I mean, just think of that word there, from darkness to light. What do you think? You think of the darkness and then you think of light and people coming out of the darkness. And I see joy and rejoicing and horror turn to joy, you know, because they've just received the truth and love. They've just got born again. They've got that peace for the first time ever in their life. Can you remember being born again? Can you remember when you knew you were saved? That peace that just flooded your soul, that flooded your whole body, that cleared your mind out of all the worry, fears and doubts. That you just didn't never want it to stop. You didn't want that night to end. I can remember it for me personally. I can remember when I got born again and where I was. And the peace that flooded me and I didn't understand it. And I just had to cry because it was just overwhelming. So this is the grace of God, you know. And it hasn't changed. We can have that peace all the time. And it's just where we focus our mind and attention. Don't let people steal your peace. Don't steal your own peace, because you can when you start thinking back to the negative side. If only I'd done that, if I didn't make this decision. No, forget those things which are behind and reach forward to the things which are in front of you. What is in front of you? Your goals, your visions, your desire, right? That's what's in front of you. For Mary, her new fellowship. Wow, awesome. For Ethel, her fellowship. And forever's got their own fellowship, Frank. And whoever else, and for Fan, labourers, for Danny, Amber, labourers, their fellowship also, and they got labourers already on the move, Munghild, whoever's going to listen to the sharing, whatever you are, what's the vision in your mind? What words are you been listening to that has given you the vision of your future and what you're doing right now? Is it when you look into the future of your life and your desires, do you find peace? If you don't, then you need to vision from God. Father, give me your desire. Give me your vision. Give me your direction. And our God will give it to you. He's faithful. And yes, you will have good days. And yes, you may have some not so good days. But you know what? Every day you're getting stronger. Every day you're getting wiser. Every day you're getting prosperous. Every day you're getting healthy. We're not declining. Okay, we're increasing with the increase of God. And nothing can stop you when you increase with the increase of God. God says, I've given you my wisdom. The wisdom, speak in tongues much. Honor me with your substance. Stay connected. Stay where I placed you. Where I want you to connect. That's where I want you to connect. Not where you want to connect. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My way are higher than your ways. I can see the time life of your life. I know who's going to be good in your life and who isn't going to be so good. I know where you're going to flourish and grow, where you're going to die and where you're going to live. Listen to my voice. Listen to my still small voice. Be still. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. God says, be still. I'm not in the commotion and where all the big crowds are. Be still. I'll take you, the one, and make you and multiply you to many. If you listen, if you connect to me, this is what God's saying. God's saying to you, if you connect to him, he'll take you as one and multiply you many. Just like Abraham. He multiplied his seed. He's doing that through us too. Right? He's our example of faith. Now receive these words that I'm speaking, not as the words of Lawrence, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which will be effective in you because you believe it and you go and do it. Whatever you can take and put into action, do it. Make a commitment to do those things if you're not doing them. And do the things with heart. And do the things with faith. You know, when you speak in tongues, expect something to happen in the spiritual and the physical. Expect something to change within your body too. It helps your infirmities, you know. Expect it to be making intercession for the saints. And what it says in the scriptures that speaking in tongues does, and I'm sure it does many more things, which isn't written down. So it's very beneficial. It's the most powerful words we can ever speak into this senses realm. They're heavenly words. I haven't got a clue what I just said, but God knows. The angels are paying attention. They're like, whoa, what is he saying down there? Oh, I understand what he's saying. Oh, he's speaking in tongues. Oh, I can go to work. Angels obey the voice of God and the words of God. Now, they're words of God, but I don't understand them. Now, I can also speak scripture, which are also words from God that are written down. And then I can also speak heavenly words. Angels go to work on the words. That's how the signs, miracles, and wonders get done. Are you stopping your angel from going to work? Are you stopping that prosperity angel from going to get your abundance to bring it to your bank account? And to work in those situations? Or are you putting them to work for you? You know, God will send the angels before us to prosper our way. And I always say to God, get them to clear out the junk, clear out the backbiters, clear out the negative talkers, bring in the abundance, remove any abundance blockers, remove any hindrance to the blessings and abundance that your people need to receive and need right now. Because there's things that we all need and there could be something blocking it. So we cast it out the way. Father, now bring it on down. Money, come to my bank account, come to my PayPal account. Laborers, come to my fellowship, come to my phone, come to my Zoom. Whatever it is, whatever God energizes you to speak in those times, speak it forth, call it and believe it. So again, getting back to those words, it really is powerful stuff. And we got another 6 months of the year left. So let's make it glorious with God. Father, let's start. That one key laborer. There's still time. Give me that one. I just want one person. What? Just one. It's not hard for you. Or is it too hard for you, God? I think it might be too hard for you to give me one. Maybe. We know nothing's too hard for God, right? So God, give me that one laborer. The one genuine one. The one that no one can take away from me and I can't even push them away if I tried because you've drawn them to me. You keep those laborers with me and you bring me new ones with heart. They're going to do things with heart. without questioning all the time, but coming to you with questions that they may have, and just moving in faith and just increasing and being fruitful. Like, you know, as a leader, if you've got people, you should be praying for their health, their strength, their abundance, their fruitfulness. I pray for all of you that way. Just as I pray for myself, I also pray for my laborers the same way. I want every one of you that connect to me to be very successful. But there are factors in that. And the factors are you listening? Are you doing? Are you practicing? Or do you just listen in the moment, like you're listening now, you're getting blessed right now, but then forget about it? You know, we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own self. That's what the scriptures say. God wants us to be doers of the word. So be a doer of the word then. Stop doing your own thing, because where you're doing your own things, where you're not prospering is where you're doing your own thing. Seriously, that's, you've got to look at it. Sit down with God. See, was Lawrence talking rubbish, or was he saying something from you there? Because I know I'm saying something from God there. You know, where you are not prospering and flourishing is where you're doing it in your strength, or you've got not got the understanding yet. And then you need to go to God for the wisdom. That's why God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask and I'll give it to him. So everything, God's made us winners. We are winners. It's up to us to utilize it. It's up to us to put everything into action with God and let him lead us. And just stay faithful, connected, despite what may go on, even discouraging things, forget them. There'll always be discouraging things out there, but we'll always overcome it. More than just a victory. It'll be triumphantly overcome, whereas just like a little pinhead, like a little, you know, get a little pin and it pricks you. Oh, it's just that little bit. And you're like, oh, what's that? Just scrape it away. Oh, it's nothing. It's under my feet, because it's under God's feet. It's under Christ's feet. You know, I'm complete in Christ. So anyway, that's what I could go on and on and on, but I'll just stop there right now. I thank you for listening, and I hope you take it to heart, you know, because, and do it, because if you do that, you're going to go even further than you're ready. You know, what God done in 5 years with us all connecting, he's going to do things within a couple of years, even a lot quicker than that now, you know. Things are going to escalate and speed up with the growth, with the outreach, with the abundance. You're going to be much more prosperous. He wants you to be prosperous. Let's not shy away. This is not a prosperity gospel teaching. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you in such a position that you can just give away £1 million and not even miss it. You know, he wants you to have such wealth that you can bless a lot of people and do a lot of good. That's why we should have the wealth. It's not to spunk it up on ourselves, but it's to be a blessing to other people, to be a blessing for the movement of God. You know, they had the money, they built the temple of God, right? Didn't they? It went on the temple of God, building God's physical bricks and mortar house, or whatever it was made of, gold and silver and all the other things, right? But what about the body of Christ? You know, those, you know, I love how Sandgate does things, because, you know, in the older days, I don't know if they still use the same practices. I have to ask him and find out and get back to you on it. But I know that when there was a leader rising up and he had people coming, they had people coming to their fellowship, but they just didn't have quite enough abundance for them to go full time. Sandgate would make up what they would need. And Sandgate would say to him, look, you know, I'll make up that part which is lacking. But when you've got those people that are coming and you can go free from your work, and he said, then you abundantly share back to me so I can help someone else. And this is how he, on the earlier days, he used to do it. And so many people become free. But the thing was about that, these leaders, before he ever done that, they had to be shown themselves to be faithful, to be running the fellowship, to see fruit and growth and increase. They had to show themselves worthy of it, right? In a sense, and it's true, really, if you think about it. Even if you had a business, you would run it like that. And until you open up another business, you need to see the one that's already being run flourishing and growing. So it's like, you know, they operated in that principle, and lots of people became free to work for God. We need people free to move with God. I'm one of them here in the West. I don't know anybody else fully in my mind that is really practicing being free with no circular job, but living unto God. I know there's people that live off their riches, because they've got riches beforehand and they've gone free. But I'm on about really looking to God. I had no one else, mate, when I went full time. There was no one, but God brought that person. That same day I gave up, he brought one person, and that lady was named Debbie Bernstein, and she helped me in the beginning. God bless her for that, you know, because she was that person at that time listening to God, and then God arranged other open doors down the road for me. And so he can do that for anyone. Now, it's quite easy to say, well, I got 300,000 in the bank now, so I'll go full time now. Yeah, it's nice and easy, isn't it? The just shall live by faith. But I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. They want to do it that way. But really, I've done it with nothing. I'd started off in debt, you know, and God got me out of it. Praise the Lord. But I've given my life to God, and my life is in service for God. That's it. There's nothing else I got. And I got everything because I've got God. And I'm doing according to my understanding what he wants me to do. And my heart is to help God's people. I've been helped. And I want to help other people. This is all my heart, you know. And I'm not very well educated or anything, you know. But God is with me. And God is my wisdom. God is speaking by my mouth. He's in charge of my life. Through my free will choice and decision. And I'm just doing the best I understand to do according to my level of understanding and what I know right now. And there's anything else I know God will reveal to me. And he's faithful, because my God is faithful. He's got me all this way. I shouldn't even be here. Like, from the time I was born, my mum nearly lost me 3 or 4 times before I was even born. You know, the devil didn't want me born. But God had other plans. And so I know I'm going all the way, baby. You know, I know I am. My life is in his hands. Got no fear about that at all. Now, I've learned that recently, you know. But there's no fear in that. God's delivered me from all my fears. So God wants to do great things by you guys. Really, look, whatever you're doing that's stopping you, you know. A lot of you know what's stopping you. Stop doing those things. Whether it's your thought patterns or habit patterns or apprehensions or other people kind of bugging you out. Just let it go and just trust God. He's got you. He's got you. You know, God will back you up when you make a decision fully with him in whatever you're going to do with him. Just go for it. Anyway, love you. That's what I wanted to encourage. Well, bless your beautiful hearts and wonderful things that God has just...
Thank you, Lord. That was really, really fantastic.